up on your feet. Let's give the Lord a worship tonight. Yeah, come on. Come on. Give him a praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Yes. Hallelujah. Give the Lord another clap of worship tonight. Hallelujah. God's going to do something mighty in the house tonight. I believe it. You know why? Because the Word said that He would.
Yes, He did.
And I believe it. You believe it, and I believe it. Tommy Bates said that just settles it. How many really would like for God to do something special for you tonight? Hallelujah. God is able to do something very special for you tonight. You may be seated. What Sister Linda, she will or can tonight sing that song. Peace. What is it?
The only real peace. Thank you, Jesus. Life is a few days of trouble, a wise man once said. But I'll not complain, for I'm clothed, I'm sheltered and fed. Many trial, my dreams and my wants put me through, but the only real peace is the peace, Lord, I have in you. The only that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all life's frustrations, I need you, and I know I do. And the only real peace is the peace, Lord, I have in you. The only that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all life's frustrations, I need you, I know I do. The only real peace is the peace, Lord, I have in you. The higher I soar, my dream, the harder I fall. Sometimes I wonder if dreams are worth dreaming at all. But my disappointment can't keep me blinded and gloom. Not when I am reminded of the sweet peace I have, Lord, in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all life frustrations, I need you, and I know I do. And the only real peace, peace, Lord, I have in you.
Oh, give the Lord a clap of worship. If you need that peace tonight, your life is troubled. And you don't know which way to turn. That peace is just for you. Praise the Lord. Well, I just feel special in the Lord.
Help us, Jesus.
Fears raging high.
Yes.
People don't know which way to turn. I'm going to be so bold to say this. Even the house of God, fear is creeping in the doors, and people say, what can I do? The only real peace you'll ever have.
That's right.
The only hope that you've got is Jesus Christ. And Him crucified, there is no other.
That's right.
No
hallelujah.
But Jesus Christ. And we just don't say that, we say it. Oh, I feel closest to Him.
Thank you, Jesus.
I feel His presence in this place.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's here just to minister to you. Just to touch you tonight.
Right up, had him laying right there beside of me, and guess what I did? They're
still laying right there on my little stand where I was at. So I apologize for, but you can call me and I'll do my best to explain directions of how to get there if you'd like to go be with Brother Stan, and I know he would appreciate you. And I believe he said it's a 30th anniversary revival. I may be quoting that wrong, but I believe it is. So if you'd like to go, feel free to take part. I know you'll be blessed for your effort. God is good. I said God is good. God is so wonderful. Now come on, preach with me now. I got 4 pages of notes and scriptures that I wanted to share tonight. And I come early to church this evening to go over and study and pray and seek the Lord. And the Lord gave me 3 verses. And I wrote these 3 verses down, and I thought they would just be a part of the message that God intended, that I thought God wanted me to minister tonight. So this morning we ministered, last Sunday morning we ministered on being a Christian and in time, how that our mind has to be clear of the world, have this begin to think on the things of God. And then last Sunday night we ministered on the writing on the wall, Belshazzar, and how I believe God has warned America, but I don't know if we've noticed the writing yet. And tonight, and this morning we ministered on God's blessings and end time, and how that we have to hearken to his voice, diligently hearken to what God's speaking to this people, and then do what he says to do. And he said if you will do them 2 things, he pronounced the blessings that he would do. And tonight we intended on preaching on the blessings and on the judgment of God, but I just want to obey the Lord. Somebody say obey God, Pastor. Sometimes we think we got the best laid messages out and the Holy Ghost will lead you in a different way. We're in a troubled time. A troubled time. Uncertainty is sweeping around the world. We're in, as I like to say, we're in biblical times, because we're actually seeing the Word of God being fulfilled. How many believes that the Word of God is being fulfilled even as we said here? The soon coming. How many believes in the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you give the Lord a hand tonight? Hallelujah. Bow your heads if you would. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that have come out to be here tonight, God. And I ask, Lord, that you'll minister to every need in this building. I ask, God, that you'll anoint me, Lord. Anoint my mind and my tongue, God. Let me speak the words, God, that you would have me to speak. I ask that you'll open our hearts, Lord, everyone here, that we might receive this word, Lord, and that we can apply it into our hearts and into our lives, Lord, that it may bring forth much fruit. And in the name of Jesus, devil, we rebuke you that you do not steal, kill, or destroy this word. And the church says, would you turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter, and going down to verse number 12. If you do not have your Bibles, they'll have it up on the screen here in just a little bit. 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter, and the 12th verse. Would you stand, if you're able tonight, those that are able, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And the church says, you may be seated. We are truly in a time that our country is divided, full of hate, full of strife, full of greed. I tell you what, you do not have to be a genius to see what's going on in the world and how the enemy has a hold upon this old world. There's something about to happen, and I'm not talking about the president election, because I believe that there's things that set in motion around the world is about to come to pass. There's a fear. How many here drove here in an automobile tonight? They're not many of us got horse and buggies anymore, are they? And we don't ride bicycles. And so most of us come by automobile here tonight. There's an uncertainty about what's going to happen in the gas market. A lot of people believe that we're fixing to see gas shortages and prices that are so high that the poor people just will not have it. There's a fear out there. It already consumes a lot of our income. The price of groceries have went up for the past 2 years. What is it, 30% each year? Even maybe go higher. It's already up 30% this year, maybe even higher before the year is out. There's a fear that's sweeping the country. People don't know what to do. I have never seen, can somebody agree with me, I have never seen sickness like they are right now. They are diseases, and with all the medical science that we have and the people that we have that are so smart, and they are very educated, very smart, they do not know how to handle what's happening in the world. There's things that are beginning to happen that just doesn't make sense. But I'm here to tell you something tonight. And I don't know, this may be the shortest message Pastor Bill's ever preached in his life, but I'm just going to give you what the Holy Ghost has laid on my heart to give you. I'm here to tell you one thing. There may be despair sweeping through the world. It may be in America. There may be difficulties on every hand. If you want to hear some of the difficulties, you can come here someday and answer the phone. People need their electric paid. They need their water paid. They need their rent paid. There's people that have nothing. There's people called here that have no food. There are people called here that need this or need that. They're hurting. And I sat there and I listened to them. I said, well, I can't do much. But I said, can I just pray for you? And I begin to take it. A lot of people, when you say that you're going to pray, they just hang the phone up. They don't even want to hear the prayers. They don't want the prayer, but they want something tangible that they can see, that they can hold on to. They absolutely have no understanding what's about to happen. And then we look at the church world. We are so conceited and self-promoted that we isolate ourselves in the walls of our church. And this church is better than that church, and that church is better than this church. And we build our names up, and we say it's our us and our four and no more. We think we got a front row seat in heaven, and we think everything's all right, and the world's crumbling around us. Say, Pastor, you're painting the picture. I hope I'm just telling you what life's like. I believe you already know what's happening. How many people here, if you was honest with yourself, had said in the last week you have lost sleep and been woken up for many hours because of the concern that's going on maybe in your homes or your families or in your community? There's an uncertainty that's coming. But I want you to know what Apostle Paul was telling Timothy. He said, listen to me, Timothy. And I'm putting this in Pastor Bill's words. He said, I want you just to listen to me for a minute. He said, I've suffered hardship and I've suffered abundantly. I've been abased and I've been blessed. I've been on the mountain and I've been in the valley. I've been in the storms and I've been on the good side. He said, I've been through it all. But he said, there's one thing that I want to tell you. I am persuaded that law that I have committed under Jesus Christ will be there until that day of judgment. And you want to know something? I am persuaded. Pastor Bill Chapman, I don't care what happens today. I don't care what happens tomorrow. I don't care what I have to walk through or what you have to walk through or what's going to happen around this world. I am persuaded that Jesus Christ is able to meet every need of my life and to take care of everything that I have given to him. Church, I'm going to tell you something. This is from the Holy Ghost, because I just can't. I have to say it. This is not what I intended to preach, but I'm going to tell you something. If you don't take that you have not committed, that you're trying to hold on to, that you're holding back, and this is prophetic word, and this is directly from the Holy Ghost. If you do not take it and lay it up on the altar and commit it to the Lord Jesus Christ, it will destroy you and drag you down, and victory will never come. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. Church, I got to say what the Holy Ghost is telling me to say. We're holding on to our baggage. We've got it down. We've got a wheelbarrow full of this stuff that we will not let go. It's ours, and we're holding on to it. We think we're the only one
that's ever walked that path, we're the only one that's ever carried that load. Let me tell you something. I am persuaded that if you'll give it over to Jesus Christ, He is able tonight to meet that need. He is able to take that that you have committed unto Him. I'm going to give you just a couple more scriptures here. Would you go with me to the book of John, 17th chapter, and the 12th verse? This is what Jesus said. In John, the 17th chapter, the 12th verse, it says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. These that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost." None of them is lost. Chapter 17, verse 12. None of them is lost but the son of perdition. Where he's talking about Judas. Apostle John said, Jesus was quoting what Jesus said. He said, Jesus said this, "Father, everyone that you've given me, I have not lost one of them. And I have kept them. Everyone that you gave me, I've not let them slide. The only one that is not with me is that Judas, the one that's going to betray me. I've lost him. He chose to go the other way. But those that have committed to me," he said, "I have not lost." Can I ask you something tonight? What do we have the fear in giving Jesus our all tonight? What do we have the fear in surrendering all unto the Lord? I'm telling you, he's the same miracle worker now as he ever was. How many believes he can still walk on water? How many believes he can still open the blinded eyes? Do you truly believe tonight that God is able to meet your need and to answer and to do a miracle in your life? If you truly believe it, would you stand up and raise your hands toward heaven and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe it tonight that you're able." Say it out loud. "I believe it tonight that you're able to do what I've asked you to do. There is nothing impossible with the Lord." Now give the Lord a clap of worship tonight. You see, we've come to a place in the church. We say we believe in miracles, but we never give them over to the Lord. How can He keep us if we don't surrender unto the Lord? I truly believe tonight that He's able to keep us in this day, in this hour that's coming. I've never seen despair like it is today. Never seen. I thought for the last 4 weeks that the reason that I couldn't sleep was because my body was hurting. Sometimes we are just ignorant. Sometimes we just don't understand God's trying to get our attention about something. Can I say that right? You see, sometimes we think, well, we're laying there awake and we're up 4, 5, 6 hours a night. We think that, well, it's just because we're not feeling good. Then God begins to speak to me. And He begins to show me, and I'm going to share it with you for long, some of the things that's about to happen in this world. It's an eye-opener. Brother Mack, it's an eye-opener. And I know you're Bible readers and you know this, but even when you begin to see it, it's an amazing what God's about to do and what the world's doing. People say, well, if we vote this president in, everything's going to be all right. If we vote this one out or this one in, everything's going to be all right. Can I tell you something? God doesn't care whether they got an R before their name or a big D before their name. God says, "I put them in and I take them out." God is able to do a miracle working church beside all that this is. We put in our hopes in the wrong thing. We're cherishing the wrong thing. We're trying to accomplish things. The Lord spoke to me and said, "Now, son, if you are kept, I will keep you. If you are kept, I will keep you." This is what He began to show me. If you would, let's go to one more verse before I go to the next scripture. Go to the 18th chapter and the 9th verse. I just want to show you the Lord was this again, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them that gavest thou me, I lost. Can somebody say that? How many believes that Jesus can take care of you? How many believes he's going to take care of you? Let me rephrase that. I tell you, you don't act like it. In a time of trouble and be prosperous because you're his people. How many believes he's going to extend the things that he's given you? Your garden will outgrow everybody else's garden because you're a child of God. A gallon of gas in your car is going to go twice as far as a gallon in somebody else's car just because you're a child of God and he keeps you. Come on now. When everyone else is sick and they don't know where to turn, medicines let them down, doctors let them down, and their insurance has stopped doing nothing, and the enemy's going to attack you with everything that he can attack you with, and you're going to stand and raise your hands and you're going to say, he has never lost anyone, and I belong to Jesus Christ, and he is well able to keep me in this time that I live in. How do I know that he will keep me? Oh, listen to this. The Holy Ghost gave me this. Go to John, the 15th chapter. This is how I know. Let's go down. Let's just start in verse number 4. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abideth in the vine, and no more can ye except you abide in me. You want to know why I know I am kept? Because he that I put commit a fall to is abiding with me. Right here. Verse number 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You see, I can do it because he's with me. You're going to do it because he's with you. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And the man gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Come on now. You say, Pastor, you're a preacher of doom. I'm not a preacher to doom to them that know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, because I believe that he is our captain, our Savior. He's our all in all, and he never has lost a battle, and he never will. He will lead us through to it all. Glory to God. You see, things will happen that you cannot understand. Many things have and will be. Happen at such a speed. The enemy's going to be knocking on your door. He's going to be invading your territory. And it's going to be, you're going to say, Lord, what's happening? The Lord's going to say to you, why didn't you commit it unto me? Why didn't you just give it unto me? See, you're holding on to it. You're holding on to it. Hold on to it. God can't keep you. Enemy will invade. Say, Pastor, that don't sound good. I read to you the John 15 chapter. He wasn't talking to sinners. He said, if you don't abide in me, it's our choice. If you don't surrender unto him, if you don't give him your all, we're holding on. Holding on. holding on to it. And I'm going to tell you what the enemy does to you. Can I show you something that the Holy Ghost showed me? Is when you're holding on to your baggage and you're not letting God have it, there's times it goes pretty easy. You want to know why? Because the enemy will grab a hold of it. He gives you that little push downstream. And you're just floating downstream. And the weight's not got you yet. How many people have you know that the enemy's led farther and farther out? I was talking to a preacher one time, a backslidden preacher. He had pastored a church bigger than I've ever pastored. His membership was well over 300. I was talking to him. He's a big fella. See, there's not many people I look up to tall-wise. I'm a tall person. I think I'm shrinking a little bit. But I'm still well over 6 foot. So I see the tops of a lot of people's heads in my life. But when I looked at this guy, I could see his neck. He was a head taller than me. Big old guy. He outweighed me by 100 pounds if he outweighed me by anything. That pastor, he said, it slipped away and I didn't even know it. He said, I was pastoring a church, everything was going good. He said, my finances was great, that I owned my home, I had new automobiles, that I had, he said, I had a clothing expense, I had this expense. Man, he was living the high life. And it kept slipping away. Because he had some baggage he just couldn't get rid of. He started out, and I'm going to use what he told me, and I can't put it in his words. He said it started out, he would sneak away when nobody was looking. He'd smoke one of them happy joints. He said, I just had to get everything off my mind, and that was the best way. He said, nobody knew it but me and God. And he said, I'd do it and then I'd pray. But after a period of time, that didn't do it for him. So he went to something a little stronger. He said, it was just me and God. And then all of a sudden, he went to something a little stronger. I knew him, he would sell his body for the next high. Brother Pearl will know who I'm talking about when I tell you the next thing. He had a cancer or something that eat his insides out, and he had one of them bags that hang right here. He told me. That I didn't know what was happening until I've already lost everything. He said, I thought that all I had to do was say Jesus and he'd just pull me right back. And he said, the devil took me so far that I'm right here. He had that bag on his side. He was smoking them, had a meth pipe, he showed me, for his highs. First time I ever met him. Anointing of God was on me and I was preaching. He'd come up to me. Him, a big old fella. And he said, preacher, I'm going to beat you to death. And he meant it. That bag tied to his side. I'm sure Brother Carl probably remembers this guy. He took a swing at me. My first instinct was, he may be big, but I'm kind of big. That's my first instinct. I wanted to give him one of them quick little jabs. Power of God come on me. And I mean the power of God moved on me. Holy Ghost fell down on me. And I knelt right down in front of him. And I said, brother, if it will do you any good to beat me to death, do you take off, beat me? And he began to scream like a woman. He ran about two city blocks. He said, Pastor, he said, there was a host of angels around you, and if I would have touched you, they would have killed me. And he trembled. And when he come back the next time I seen him, we were talking. He said, it's too late for me. I said, I just don't believe it's too late because God wouldn't even be dealing with you. He said, but you don't understand. The devil led me. You see, he thought he could hold on to his baggage. He said, I'll hold on to it. He said, look at me. I preach every Sunday morning. The church has me a home, a car, and I have all this. It won't matter if I've got something. I can handle it. You're sitting here tonight, and it may not be nothing drastic. You're holding on to it. And you haven't committed it unto the Lord. And that part that is not committed, that you have committed unto the Lord, he cannot take care of it. And so what happens is, where he wants to bite it in you, where the Lord wants to bite it with you, can I say that God's a jealous God? And do you know that he will not share? Do you think that he'll share you with someone else? That part that you have not committed unto God, that part that's held back, the enemy will come in and say, that's my territory. And the Lord would love to take and defend you, but he cannot defend that which is not committed unto him. Now I'm preaching to somebody. The Holy Ghost did not change my good message that he gave me. And if you don't, I spent 3 days this week on this message, and I shouted that office down. I had a time in the Lord. I know what God had, but he wanted you to know that he's able to protect you, and he will never let you go as long as you surrender unto him. You may run me out of this town tonight, and that's all right. Because my keeper is Jesus Christ. And you can't let it go. It has a hold of you. Here's how I know that the church is going to be victorious. The Lord promised you and you and you and your children. Said that if you will come unto me, I will pour out my spirit upon you. You shall be baptized. And he said, after that, my power shall be in you. Am I saying this right? Acts 1, verses 8 down. That my power will be in you. You say, but Pastor, Bible people can tell me right where it is. My children, how often have I called you and put my wings around you as a hen would do her chicks, but you would not? How often would I have done this, but you would not? When I'm sitting here and I'm thinking what's going on in the world, that eye for a split second, and out of the eye come a tear. This is what God showed me. And the verse come to me, how often would I give you up? Put my arms around you. The mother hen, you ever seen? We raised them when we were kind of dirt poor. We had them old gang. I'm talking about. They wasn't a dog that stood a chance in our neighborhood. I had some of the prettiest dogs you ever seen, but I tell you what, when they messed them chickens, them roosters, and the
in both. They'd claw, they'd fight them old dogs. Us kids, we thought we were big, and we didn't have no games to play. So one of our big games was just go grab, try to grab one of them chicks, and that whole game hen chase you through the yard. And when it got a hold of you, you know it. They were. But I'll tell you one thing. I seen this one morning. I heard an awful commotion. They was out in the backyard, and I went out there, and about a humongous black snake came down. This mother hen. When that snake got a little closer, the fight was on. And I can tell you this much, that snake did not get one chick. I didn't know a hen could fight like that. I knew they were fast. I knew they were mean. That hen would spread their wings and charge that snake. That snake would go back, and the hen could be on top of it every time. After about three times, that snake decided it had enough, that meal wasn't worth it. But can I tell you this much about my God? He'll put his arms around you. And if the enemy approaches, you don't have to worry about it. He said, I'll raise up a standard. Man and all the angels of heaven will gather around. And if the enemy begins to come, oh, there'll be a war that will take place. You may not see one pit of it, but it will happen in the principalities of the air. And let me tell you, the devil and all his little wimps and all them that thinks he's big and bad and that hollers big and loud, he'll put his tail between his leg and he'll kind of whine a little bit and he'll head on down the road, because my Lord and Savior has never lost a battle. He has the keys of the kingdom and he will not. Said this, and Brother Jack, you asked him, he'll tell you this. It's a whole lot easier to preach deliverance and salvation to people that's never heard it before than those that's heard it their whole life. Because when there's somebody that's never heard it, they just believe it. They just accept it. You, Pastor, you said it, we believe it. They just let off with it. Because they don't know no better. But we sometimes in our season, we have got accustomed, well, I'll work this out. And hold on to it. And 6 weeks later, we're back at the same old need. 6 weeks later, we're back again. And we never conquer what God has for us. I believe that God gave me this little word tonight because he wants to do something. One of my prayers that I pray often is, and I'll just share it with you, Lord, I'm tired. Probably won't make sense to you, but it does to me and Sister Becky. Lord, I'm tired of spinning my tires. I get tired of fighting the same battles because we don't have to. Fight the same battles, that's because you're holding on to something. You're not truly letting God deliver it from you. Holding on to it. So you're fighting the same battles. It's like
bought her a new refrigerator, and they brought it to her house. The guys that delivered it pulled up, and she had one of them houses that had about 150 feet of steps that went straight up. So they carried her new refrigerator up there, and they put it in. They drug her over, and out they sat on the porch. She said, "What are you going to do with that old one?" They said, "We're going to leave it here, that we don't want it." "No, you got to take it down." And one of them said, "Sister, you're supposed to be a woman of faith. Pray. God will move it down there, and I'll come by and get it in the morning." So she said, "Lord, oh Lord, I know that all things are possible if we only believe. When I wake up in the morning, I want this refrigerator down there on the sidewalk where this man can come and get it." She slept all night. She jumps up the next morning. She runs out on her porch and slams the door. And she said, "Just like I thought, it's still up here." We have a lot of faith sometimes, don't we? See, she held on to it. What would have happened if she had believed it? Lord might have used one of them little devils. Well, mean boys never could push it down, see how far it would slide, but it had been down there. You see the difference? We hold on. Hold on too long. God can't move. We hold on to sickness. God touches us and we hold on to it. But just like that little woman. First pain we get, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, I knew it was coming. Come on now. I knew it was coming. We hold on in our spiritual life. We have a good service, and next service, yeah, just like I thought, that's worth fun. As your faith is, so shall it be unto you. You hold on to it. Now, God's wanting to break some stuff. I want you to know if there's anybody here that's got something you want to commit to Jesus Christ. Have it done with. I want to know if there's anybody here says, I'm not saying you're backslidden. I'm just saying maybe you're struggling and there's something you're holding on to and you say, I just want to surrender it to God right now. Can I say this much? I believe that if you'll surrender it to God, it's gone. And He's well able to take care of that you have committed unto Him. He'll not let it go. It may seem impossible what you have. Sometimes I think that we let God move more when it is impossible. We don't have to wait for the impossible, but sometimes we do. God is able this evening. Not because Pastor Bill's here, in spite of Pastor Bill. He's able. Whatever head is bowed. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know, Father, that you've given us this message to this congregation this day. Sometimes I find myself, Lord, pushing a wheelbarrow, things that I've not committed unto you. Sometimes, Lord, I find myself dragging a backpack that's weighed me down, things that I've picked up, Lord, that I know. You are waiting for me to surrender unto you. Lord, I can only speak for myself. I don't know another person in here, what they might be going through, what's in their life. But Holy Ghost, I know that you know every heart and every soul and every thought. I ask that you'll search right now every heart in this place. And if there's anyone here, maybe there's not a person here, but if there's anyone here that's been packing years of this life is weighing you down. It's just weighing you down. Maybe it's a financial thing, spiritual, healing. Maybe it's just a personal thing between you and God. Maybe you've been holding it down. Weighed you down. You might might be here tonight, and I want you to ask everyone to ask yourself this question. If this would be your last day on earth, because there's not one person here has a guarantee of tomorrow. Life is a vapor, just appear for a little while and then it vanishes away. You have boast not for tomorrow, you don't even own tomorrow. If the death angel may already have your name and may be waiting to call you, I may not last this night away. I may go to meet my Lord and Savior before this night's over. You may go. If God called you home, there's one question that you'll have to answer yourself right now. Would he say, "Well done, my child"? Or would he say, "Depart from me. I don't know you"? You're the only one that knows where you stand with God right now. I'm telling you what, that just is a no-soul salvation. You shall know where you stand with God. It's not up for somebody else to tell you. It's not up for a mom or dad or sister or brother, wife or husband. It's a personal between you and God. What a time, the seventh day of October. Just still early, just a half past the hour of seven. A wonderful time to let God touch your life. Maybe you're here and you've got baggage. Maybe you just need God to move on you if there's things that's drug you down. I don't know what they might be. But God knows. And you know. Holy Ghost is showing you right now. Church, I need some prayer warriors. I need somebody to ring the prayer bells of heaven. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, have your way tonight. This is your opportunity right now. I truly believe this is an opportunity for you to surrender unto God. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you're here and God's dealing with you about some matters, this is between you and God. It's between no one else in the church. I truly believe this will help you. It gets you started in the right direction. Are there anybody? Just raise your hand and say, "Yes, Pastor, God's dealing with me right now." Are there others? God sees all these hands going up in this place. He sees them. God cares about these. He's calling you right now. We're dragging this along way too long. I'm going to ask everyone that's able, I want you to stand. And if I could get them to come, Sister Linda, would you come to the piano and come to music? Hallelujah. I truly believe. Pastor has to be willing to be the first fruits. I truly believe that. Sister Becky and I, we have had